You're listening to New England Soccer Weekly on 1510. Give the show a call at 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. And now your hosts, Tom Quinlan, Sean Donahue, and Justin Churchill.
Yo! What is going on? November 22nd, 2014, and the countdown to Harrison, New Jersey is just a little more than 24 hours away. The Revs, the Red Bulls, from the city that never sleeps. No, wait a minute. It's New Jersey. What am I saying? But it's the conference finals in MLS. Are you ready?
You know, nobody wants to associate themselves with New Jersey. That's the problem.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Nobody wants to associate themselves with the armpit of America. Sean Donahue to my left, as always. Justin Churchill not in studio today. A shout out to him. He's on the catcher covering. But Brad Calandrello on the ones and twos producing it live for you. What's up, buddy?
Hey, you guys. How's it going? Pretty good?
Yeah, not too bad. A couple weeks since we had you here.
Tony Soprano might be a little upset that you said that about New Jersey there, Sean.
You know, I can't help with these.
You won't be upset with my armpit of America comments?
You too, Tom.
All these sports teams in New Jersey and just call themselves New York teams. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know what? It is interesting. But here's the thing. The Revs aren't going into the Meadowlands.
Nope.
They're not facing either the New York Giants or the New York Jets. They're not going into the world's most famous arena in Madison Square Garden and dealing with the crowd in there. You're not dealing with the crowd at Yankee Stadium or Shea Stadium. They haven't played a big game yet at Citi Field, so I can't give them credit. So what type of atmosphere, playoff atmosphere, can we expect from the New York, New Jersey crowd tomorrow night? Sean, you're going to be down there in attendance. So I'm very interested to see what the fans have to bring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think the Red Bulls are known for having the most boisterous fans in the league, certainly not compared to teams like Seattle and Portland. But, you know, sold-out stadium, we've seen in the past that Revolution fans that have gone down there have managed to make a lot of noise, audible on TV sometimes even, when it's been a pretty small contingent, you know, less than 200 fans. Now we've got, you know, 1,150-plus Revolution fans going down to New York. It's going to be very interesting, and a sold-out stadium overall. So, you know, plenty of Red Bulls fans, huge traveling support from New England. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I mean, you went into it because we said it last week on the show. We would have been happy, and the organization would have just been happy just to get 800 fans. But over 1,100 fans going down on buses to New York, plus it's not even counting the ones that didn't associate themselves with the bus people. You know, people driving down by themselves. There's going to be a large New England contingency filling out Red Bull Arena. And, you know, as you said, it could be tough for the Red Bull fans to get behind their Bulls because, I mean, New England might outshout them. But
well, I mean, when you think of the fans that are going down there for the Revs, it's the biggest fans, the ones that are going to be cheering and yelling the whole game.
The people in the fort, you crazy MFs.
They'll certainly be outnumbered by Red Bulls fans, but they can probably outshout them. It'll be very interesting to see. I mean, if you had told me a few weeks ago that the Revolution were going to get 800 fans to go down there, I would have been very, very impressed. The fact that they got, you know, 1,150-plus is just amazing. Especially when you consider this is a team that, for home games in the past, has struggled to get, you know, pretty good attendance numbers. So the fact that they can get over 1,000 fans to go down to New York now, it shows the culture is changing here.
The record numbers are so beautiful to look at when you look back the last couple of weeks, the final home game of the year, the first playoff game of 2014. I can only imagine what it's going to be like next week. We'll talk more with Brad Feldman, who is currently en route to Harrison, New Jersey, right now at 12:20. But we'll start with the on-field play. We'll start talking about the matchups because, yeah, the fans get you excited, how many people are going to be going down. Yeah, the atmosphere, the fact that it's New York, New England, yeah, that gets you pumped up. But let's look at the facts. You got some of the best players in this league on this side of the country going up against each other. And for people that don't associate themselves as much with the sport of soccer and don't understand who a lot of these people are, you're going to be so thoroughly impressed with both sides because both teams have a tremendous amount of talent.
Yeah, this is a fun team to watch. You look at the Revolution in years past when they were struggling after, you know, their great playoff runs from the early mid-2000s. And at some times, this team was not necessarily a very fun team to watch. Right now, they are. They have a lot of talent. Lee Wynn playing out of his mind. You know, Jermaine Jones, what a difference he's been. Charlie Davies playing really well right now. Revolution playing phenomenally well. And then on the flip side, the Red Bulls team that, you know, had trouble finding identity at points this season really came on strong at the end. You know, I think going, you know, a few weeks before the playoffs, we were talking about who you'd like to see the Revolution play, what would be the most favorable matchup. And I think we, you know, at least I said New York at that time because there were a lot of question marks surrounding that team. I don't think anyone would say that now. New York is playing really well. You know, Henri is in great form. Bradley Wright Phillips has been in form all season. The defense seems to be clicking better than it had been earlier this year.
But you don't have Roy Miller tomorrow night.
No, you don't have Roy Miller either night.
For the entire series.
For the entire series. So that's a big blow for them. A guy who was, you know, playing in the World Cup. Suspended for both legs for New York, and that's an area the Revolution has to take advantage of. Teal Bunbury, I think, in particular, can take advantage of that using his speed down the wings. But this is going to be a very, very exciting series. New York, New England, you know, hard to beat that. And then on the West Coast, Seattle, L.A., I don't think you could have done much better.
Home run.
Certainly from a New England perspective, I don't think you could have asked for two more exciting playoff series.
If you're from an MLS perspective, you get your marquee matchups. But I want to go back to your Teal Bunbury point and even further back to Roy Miller. You're a numbers guy. If you could tell me who's logged the most minutes since 2007, who would you say those people are?
Overall in the league?
Overall in the league. Found this out the other day from my podcast co-host, Brian Speaks, and this was amazing.
That's a tough one.
Miller has logged the second most MLS minutes behind Thierry Henry since 2007.
Never would have guessed that. Very interesting.
So going into this series, New York is severely high behind the eight ball. They only have even a 25% winning percentage without Roy Miller in the lineup. So, I mean, and it's only a point, like, drop-off in how many goals they allow. But still, you know, I think the real big, and we'll talk about it more with Brad, the big underlying factor for Mike Petke is not his offense. It's the fact that he has a shaky back line coming into the series.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a shaky back line all season, even with Roy Miller. Losing him just makes it worse.
Because he's had to do a lot.
You know, I would say that's been their weak spot for most of the season. It's a backline that can be exploited. So to lose a key veteran guy like him, I think that's a huge, huge blow for them. So you know, Rev's got to take advantage of that, and I think they will.
Do you think Louis Robles will be the man that carries Red Bulls on their back this series? Because we haven't really seen the need for him too much. Like, in both games this year against New England, Louis Robles was a huge X factor. Especially being a man up at home, Louis Robles solidified that game. And the midfield really solidified that game for New York, the second win of the year. But that first win back here at Gillette, you put on Louis Robles for the outstanding performance that he had. Can you get two games out of Louis Robles, which would isolate this New England offense? Which is going to be very hard to do because they've scored in almost every single game since the Jermaine Jones signing.
You know, he's a goalkeeper that when I first saw him on the Red Bulls was not particularly impressed with him. But I think he's someone that's really come on strong, turned it around. You know, potential candidate for goalkeeper of the year this year, I thought, the way he turned things around. You know, similar to Bobby Shuttleworth, you know, two goalkeepers that maybe weren't the most impressive at first, but, you know, really came on strong and turned things around. So, you know, I think he's capable of having a big game. I think we mentioned this last week, too. It is very interesting that, you know, going into these series, you have three or four goalkeepers that are pretty inexperienced overall. With between New York, New England, and Seattle, younger keepers that don't necessarily have much playoff experience and don't necessarily have much championship experience. You know, Pineda obviously doesn't have much playoff experience either, but he's a good international goalkeeper, so I think you'd give him a little more credit on the experience side. But
Stefan Fry didn't go this deep last year with Seattle. Same thing with Robles. New York, you remember, won the Supporter Shield last year.
The Revs had Matt Reason goal last year.
So, and there you go. Bobby Shuttleworth, you know, this is his big first test. And I've seen a lot of quotes about Bobby. Somebody said that Bobby deserves a U.S. men's national team look. And we can get
that's a bit much. That's a bit much.
We can get into that later. I don't know if it's a bit much, but I like
it. It is now.
Sure. I'm not saying he should be starting. I'm not saying he's your Copa America Gold Cup goalkeeper. But for a friendly, that doesn't matter. I'd like to see him. Neither here or there. I digress. My point is, can Bobby Shuttleworth or Louis Robles win you a series? Do you think either one of these goalkeepers have what it takes to win you a series?
You know, I think what we saw against Columbus from Bobby Shuttleworth tells me that, yes, he is capable of doing that. If he is at his best, you know, he can do that. And I think Louis Robles can do that as well. I don't think we've necessarily seen it as much from him. He hasn't had to do as much. But you know, he made some big saves in their series against DC as well. So I think he's capable of it. I think Shuttleworth's capable of it. I think they're also capable of making some bad mistakes because they're still, you know, young keepers that, you know, don't have that much playoff experience. So, you know, if either of them are at their best, they can make a huge difference.
It should be interesting, but again, it relies on the defense, and New England has got it going into it, especially finding out the encouraging news that Andrew Farrell's going to be healthy for this series, and then, you know, New York doesn't because they're going to be missing Miller. So those wing plays, would you say that's going to be the key focus going into this? Do you think that those are the guys that are going to be targeted the most through two games?
You know, I think so, and I think New York's a team that sends a lot of crosses into the box, much more so than the Revolution. The Revolution are a team that attacks down the middle more. But you look at this game and you look at, you know, Roy Miller being out for both legs, you know, it is something that the Revolution probably should focus on a little bit more, puts more emphasis on, you know, on a guy like Teal Bunbury and a guy like Kellen Rowe has been playing out in the wings, you know, take advantage of, you know, whoever it is that steps in for Roy Miller, opportunity to do that. Problem we've talked about with the Revolution is they don't have the best crossers of the ball. You know, Chris Tierney's great at it. Other than that, you don't have too much consistency in crossing ability. And I think that's part of the reason why the Revolution don't focus on that much. But, you know, if that opportunity is there with Roy Miller out to find those holes and exploit them, that's something that they should be doing. And I think that's something that they'll have to take advantage of. And Heaps obviously knows Roy Miller is out. I think that'll be a focus point for both teams, is for the Revolution defending the wings and also for the Revolution attacking on the wings. I think they're capable of defending the wings. We've seen them do that this year, limit crosses. Attacking down the wings has been something that they haven't necessarily been as successful at, but the opportunity is there to kind of change that in this series.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it goes back to what you were just saying a couple of seconds ago. New England doesn't have essentially great crossing wingers.
No.
Bunbury, he's really a converted winger, you could say, because he's more of that target striker. Kellen Rowe, a central midfielder, converted to an outside winger. It just happens to work. They're playing very well at those positions this year.
Well, and even Andrew Farrell, a guy who's great at getting forward but does not have the best crossing ability.
Right. There you go, too. So you lack in that department, but the one thing with Roy Miller being out that you can play with if you're Jay Heaps, and it was something that encouraged me back at Gillette, it's both Bunbury and Rowe are comfortable interchanging on either wing. So if the crossing's not there, fine. But if you can wear the hell out of those outside backs by continuously switching Bunbury, Rowe, and just working your way down the field and letting Lee do the work, letting Lee be that game-changing midfielder that he has in the middle all year, setting up balls for Charlie and Jones even. New England's got the series, you would imagine, right?
Yeah, and these are guys that are capable of cutting inside, too, and causing damage that way. I think to keep them honest, you do have to be able to send in some crosses as well. And so, you know, if they can do that, then, you know, really will open up the game for the midfielders, like Lee Wynn, the guys in the center. But, you know, the way the Revolution are playing, I don't think goals are going to be the issue for them. And the way the Red Bulls' defense is played, I don't think goals are necessarily going to be the issues for the Revs. It's really going to be shutting down guys like Bradley Wright Phillips and Thierry Henry, who have just been playing so well this year. And I think they could have scored a lot more goals than they did against DC if their finishing was better than it was, and probably if it was how it should have been with guys like Henri and Bradley Wright Phillips, who are so good at finishing normally. They could have blown out DC in some of those games. They really could have.
Bradley Wright Phillips, you got to be aware of him. And we'll talk more about him next on 1510 WMEX. We're live from our Marina Bay Realty Group studios here in Quincy, Massachusetts, and joining us next on the Allied Healthcare Guest Expert Hotline, it's your play-by-play announcer who will be on this radio station tomorrow night with Paul Mariner. Brad Feldman will get his thoughts on the game next. Go nowhere.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience and, as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pastas without compare. And it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
JP3 Graphics in Weymouth is helping you out with all your custom graphic needs, specializing in custom vinyl stickers, motocross graphics, truck lettering, vehicle wraps, landscaping signs, and more. When you need something designed and printed, call JP3 Graphics and they can do it for you, giving you the professional look you need without the high cost. Call JP3 Graphics today and mention this ad. The setup is free. 781-264-5214. That's 781-264-5214.
I'm a state-of-the-art 60-inch flat-screen TV. And I mean, not to brag or anything, but if a burglar ever breaks into this place, I'm pretty certain I'm the first thing he's going to steal. I mean, it's not like he's going to take that recliner over there or that coffee table.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
His hair was falling out in clumps.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, he scratched incessantly.
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Olive was suffering like a dog. She was itching, she was scratching, she was licking 24 hours a day.
Just chewing and chewing and chewing.
Scratching and biting.
Buddy, my Shih Tzu's itching problem, constantly licking his feet. It keeps me up at night.
And all it took was one container of Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com
859-428-1000
The omega 3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days.
Tons of energy, no more bad smells.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Sleep at night. Get your dog some Dynavite.
859-428-1000
859-428-1000
DINOVITE.com
The South Shore's historic Italian restaurant, The Venetian in Weymouth, has been proudly serving families for close to 100 years. Family-owned and operated using Grandma's recipes for that authentic Italian touch, Venetian serves lunch and dinner, specials daily, and breakfast on the weekends. Join them Wednesdays and Thursdays for live music. Planning a party? Let The Venetian do catering for you. The Venetian, 909 Broad Street in Weymouth. Call for takeout, 781-337-4363. 781-337-4363.
Welcome back to New England Soccer Weekly. For whom the bell tolls. It tolls for New York and New England in the conference finals tomorrow afternoon from Harrison, New Jersey. Live from our Marina Bay Realty Group studios, let's jump now to the Allied Healthcare Guest Expert Hotline and welcome in the play-by-play announcer who will be on the call tomorrow night on this radio station. None other. Then longtime voice, Brad Feldman. Brad, how are you?
Tom, I'm great. How you doing, man?
Good. Sean Donahue with us as well. And
Not Sean. Awesome. All right. Good to talk to you guys.
You know what? It's kind of upsetting because we don't have anything for you to rant off of this week.
I bet you we can find somebody. It should take about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Everybody knows me well.
Okay, there you go. So let's see. Thierry Henry. Let's see if that strikes any chords.
I think he's one of the greatest footballers of his generation, but it's easy to see why opposing fans like to hate on him. I'm not going to rant on Thierry Henry. Cole Conlon does the Bar Post podcast. He's the world expert because he's got the double sort of hatred of being both a Republic of Ireland fan, where the hatred really runs strong towards that guy, and a Revolution fan, where it's just part of the natural I-95 New York New England rivalry. Thierry Henry ain't what he used to be, but he's still pretty darn good. And I think the tackle switch pushing wide left has made a positive difference. He picks up great spots. He still has the magic first touch, especially when he's got his compatriot, Peggy Ruyandula, running off of him. Seems to set that wand of a right foot drop. He didn't do very much in terms of work rate in that series against D.C., especially in the second leg. But he had, if you go to the Kansas City playing game and two conference semifinal games, you could find six or seven passes he made that were just works of art. And the rest of the time, he's basically invisible. But that's enough to open up most MLS teams.
Do you think the defenders for New England are going to get a pretty hard education with the attack that New York is going to bring at them?
Well, yes, but not if they have the ball. And that's going to be interesting to see where the line recovery, where they it ends up being, where they contest the fall over the course of 90 minutes? Do they press high? I think they will press high. It's a question of at what stage of the game, for how long, and then how successful they are. Because that shift in formation I alluded to, putting the double axis of McCarty and now Danner in front of the back four has also really benefited Mike Becky's Red Bulls. Insofar as those guys don't get out of their box too much, and McCarty can get forward and contribute. But really what they do in this system is provide that double screen and then really good distribution to funnel the ball in the wings, Henri and Sam. And so, you know, that's why, you know, possession is going to be, it's not time of possession or possession percentage, but where you get the ball and what you do with it, how you, you know, take your chances. Because, yeah, like, let's be honest about what the Red Bulls bring with Sam and Henri on the wing, most likely to and not Cahill, your center in midfield, and the Golden Boot winner, Bradley Wright Phillips. That's a very dangerous attack, and they were very good, certainly in their last two home games. New York looked lethal, and, you know, I think, presuming Andrew Farrell's fit and comes back, I think that's a huge boom to the Reds. Not to disparage Kevin Alston, but I think Farrell's had a very strong season. I like him, especially when he's a right fullback, and I don't think that Thierry Henry wants a young guy like Farrell with all his speed and power and improved positioning and good tackling. I think he's going to be more apt to, you know, to close him down and not allow that half yard of space that DC afforded Henri several times. And that could be the difference in the series. A little bit of pressure on Henri without diving in. And, you know, then you put off some of the fly line and then the rest of the rest then will be more comfortable as a result.
Now, on the flip side, you look at New York, a guy like Roy Miller, who has been, you know, such a key fullback for them over the years, out for both legs. Revolution, not a team that's attacked too much down the wings over this season, and much more focused on the middle because of, you know, the strength they have in central midfield. Does that become more of a focus on the wings now with Roy Miller out and the, you know, ability to exploit, you know, whoever is filling in for him who,
yeah,
you know, hasn't spent much time?
Yeah, it has to be. It's not like you're running plays per se, but you take what they give you, and it, you know, you can look at the crossing numbers and you know, the heat map, where the rest pass from. But it's not like they go in there and say, okay, let's funnel it through the middle or let's play the down the channel. What's most likely going to happen? You know, there are a number of ways that Becky could jump the deck in his back four. Most likely, I think most people expect Ambroise Yongo to come in the left back, keep Eckersley a right fullback. And so then you'll have, for most of the match, Gil Bunbury going at a Yongo, right? Now, Yongo has terrific speed, certainly the pace to match Bunbury, but Yongo is really more of a wingback or a left-sided winger. Doesn't love to tackle, has lapses in concentration. He can kill you getting forward, and it's really something for Bunbury and Farrell to worry about on that side defensively. But I think that that is a potential weakness in the armor of the Red Bulls, where, as you say, Sean, they can find a little more space, a little more joy. And if Bunbury cannot, like, I think Bunbury will get into those spaces. Some games he looked really great crossing the ball and this that. The other games, that's accurate. If Bunbury has his, you know, A game on, then that, again, that's another place where the Reds can, you know, look for a positive matchup. Yes, I think so.
And then also, you know, one guy that I think has really turned his game on towards the end of the season and into the playoffs is Charlie Davies. And I think that was the question mark a lot of people had this season, is, you know, who was going to be the Revolution striker, losing Aguadelo. And Davies has really, really stepped up. You know, how important is he in this game, and what kind of impact do you think he'll have over the two legs?
Well, he did score last time the team played, and that was the beginning of that Charlie Davies renaissance, right around that time of year, which coincided with the Reds revival, right? Like, everybody talked about the watershed of the Jones signing, which obviously was big. But my colleague, Paul Mariner, called it out right from the beginning, even before Charlie hit his stride. He was providing that platform, that real, legitimate target play that the Reds had been missing. Just the ability to play with head up, keep the team playing, hold the ball for the extra touch, the extra tempo. And then it started, all the other good things about Charlie's game started to follow on from that. He recovered more confidence, his speed, maybe not quite the blazing speed he had back before the accident earlier in his career, but enough speed that no center back in the league wants to match up against Charlie Davies, especially when you have the likes of Jones and Wynn and Rowe, et cetera, pulling the strings. Charlie rides the shoulder. Now he's a double threat, right? So he's only, what, 5'10", maybe, on a good day in shoes. But he'll compete for every aerial duel. His two main threats are the ability to, you know, just pull it up and then get in behind. And his finishing has been good, right? We saw that in the Columbus game. But his overall contribution, again, I'll spread the credit to Paul Mariner, goes beyond just his production on the score sheet, because he's opening up space for the likely win to get that extra yard or so to make their moves and to put shots on target. So, yeah, the Charlie Davies up against Pachaia and Olave, who, like, if you look at the opta numbers, Olave's having a good season. But if you watch the three playoff games, he leaves his feet sometimes. He'll make incredibly athletic clearances. He's still always a threat on set pieces going forward. Thomas Olave is prone to foul, and he dives in. And I think Charlie Davies can take advantage of that. Sakaya, too, Joe, pretty good defender. But the way the Reds press high, he may make one or two mistakes over the course of the series. We saw that with Columbus in the home game. They were not comfortable playing out of the back with Wall and the goalkeeper Clark. If they're, you know, same thing with Robles, great shot stopper. Not great at ball and speed. The Reds will look to take advantage of that. And Charlie Davies is the first line of demarcation in that pressing, sort of defending from the front.
Couple more minutes quickly with Brad Feldman, play-by-play announcer for your New England Revolution, who'll be on 1510 WMEX tomorrow afternoon with Paul Mariner on the call. Paul and Brad will start coverage at 1:30 on WMEX. We'll have pregame coverage over here on 1510 starting at 1 with yours truly up until 1:28, and then we'll kick it down to Harrison, New Jersey. Brad, we were talking about it before, about the crowd atmosphere and the great numbers of Revolution supporters that'll be heading down on the buses, even the people that are not even heading down on the buses. You're going to have a large New England contingency heading down there. But I don't know what to expect from the New York faithful. I said it before. This isn't Madison Square Garden. This isn't Yankee Stadium. This isn't even the Meadowlands. So what type of hungry New York, New Jersey crowd, if at all, will we see?
I have to say, Tom, I beg to differ. They don't always fill that place, and we could do another show about Red Bull Arena and how it opened, but they have a very strong contingent of faithful fans who I think has provided a great atmosphere down there. I think with the short turnaround for selling the Kansas City game, there it was a disappointing crowd in terms of the number of tickets sold. But certainly their ultras and hardcore supporters represented well. And then in the home leg against D.C., they had a fantastic showing. So I think, well, it was the real story from a Reds perspective, 1,200 fans rolling down in an armada, a whole fleet of buses provided by the organization, but really organized by the Riders and the Rebellion and the, you know, the supporters groups who were the driving force there. And we know are going to make it like almost like a home game for the Reds. But do not be fooled. Listen, you're a New Yorker, Tom. I'm a Bostonian who spent a lot of life in New York and like to be the guy wearing a Bruins jersey or a Red Sox cap to those venues. And I think we try to characterize those places differently, you and I. But Madison Square Garden, to me, is not a place I describe. Like, for the Big East basketball tournament, now it's a thing. Yeah, now it's an atmosphere. For a New York Rangers game, come on, give me a break. I think Red Bull Arena is a tougher place to play if the Reds never won.
Well, it's all corporate now. Come on. I mean, you know what Jim Dolan did to that area. There's no sports in New York anymore. Stop it. Sean's got one more for you.
I blame Isaiah Thomas. That's a different story.
Obviously, you know, New York, New England, big rivalry. We haven't seen it too much recently from the soccer side of things. It seems like when the Revs were at their best, New York wasn't. And when New York was doing well, the Revs haven't. Finally, now you got two teams, you know, very, 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 very strong going into this series. You know, is that great for soccer to have the, you know, New York New England rivalry kind of coming back up and MLS?
Yeah, no question, because I think that it's a story that we've traditionally seen, whether it's NBC or ESPN, they've always latched on to that as like an overarching storyline because of the rivalries and other sports between the regions and their sports cultures. I also think that it's not to discredit DC United, but I think most people would say that the two best teams from the East emerged to contest the conference championship. Columbus had a good season, KC defending champ, but you have to say the Reds and the Red Bulls are the right teams to be in the conference championship round, just like you say that with Seattle and Los Angeles. So, yeah, it's good for soccer. It's good for the profile. I think you guys tested and see it too in the media coverage. People talking in barbershops and sports bars. There's a buzz around soccer in Boston right now. I hope the same is true in New York. I think that's one place where it's such a big competitive market where that can get lost. I do think that they have, other things on the horizon with NYPFC coming in, which I think is going to cut both ways for the Red Bulls, both good and bad.
He's Brad Feldman, as I said, 1510 WMEX tomorrow. 1:30 coverage starts with him, Paul Mariner, and Jesse Coldfield. Don't miss it. Brad, hope you and your partner in crime to your right there get down to Harrison, New Jersey safely, all right?
Yeah, once you get into New Jersey, they ask you to reel the big flag on the top of the car in. There's a Red Bulls photo. Is that
sounds good.
All right, guys. See you later.
Take care. See you later. Brad. He's Brad Feldman. I cut off at a little at the end right there. I didn't know if it was like a question he was asking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, couldn't quite hear it.
Telephone headsets. But, it happens, though.
You brought up an interesting point, though. You look at Charlie Davies going at the Red Bull center backs. Two 33-year-old center backs. Not the fastest guys on the planet. He is could be a matchup nightmare for them, especially when he has the ball at his feet. Two guys that are very good at winning the ball in the air for New York. So, talk about crossing. That's the flip side is, they make it the space in the wings, but... two center backs that are capable of carrying the ball out with their heads. But, on the ground, Davies certainly has them beat for speed. So that'll be another interesting point to watch going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, the last game, too, if memory serves me correct, on that ball crossed in by Teal Bunbury, wasn't it Miazga, that's how you say his last name. Wasn't it the 18-year-old Matt Miazga that was marking Davies where Davies gets in behind and then after Miazga gets sent off with that red card? I think, believe so.
I think it might have been. I have to see it again, but yeah. It's going to be. They have two very experienced center backs, but at the same time, two not the fastest guys on the planet. Guys that like Brad said, capable of making a dumb tackle and giving up a foul. And as we've seen from the Revs lately, which again is something that hadn't been the case in the past, they've been taking advantage of their set pieces, which again very important, especially in the playoffs. Huge. They should get their opportunities against New York on set pieces if they can take advantage of those, like they did against Columbus. Put them in a very good position.
Even in, if you can get into the area, if you could have, Jones create something for Charlie in the penalty box, or Teal, somebody in the penalty box, to your point, you could draw New York into committing a very foolish penalty.
You could. I mean, these are guys that lunge into tackles at times. Olave is, great defender, guy that can do that. We talk about, not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but we talk about, the second leg and Henri... Who was asked whether he'd be playing the second leg and wouldn't answer. Pretty interesting there. But Olave is also a guy that hasn't played on the Gillette turf in recent years at all either. So, who knows what's going to happen there in the second leg. So if the Revolution can get off to an advantage or leave New York with a tie, they'll be looking pretty good going into the second leg with a lot of question marks for New York.
Absolutely. 1510 WMEX. This seems like a perfect time to take a break. A shout out again to Brad Feldman for hooking us up right there. When we come on back, let's break away from the Eastern Conference Finals just a tad bit and talk about the Western Conference Finals. You cool with that, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. Seattle, LA is going to be exciting.
All right. Brad, you cool with that?
I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I guess you're okay with it. You know what?
Why not? It's your show.
617-237-1234. We're opening up the phone lines now. Sound off. Call back. See ya.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it works. Proactive heals acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers can try Proactive risk-free and get a free dark spot corrector just for participating.
800-583-7859. 800-583-7859. 800-583-7859. That's 800-583-7859.
Right now, save 50% off everything at Gap Factory. Shop early and save on daily deals like sweaters and cords from $14.99, kids from $6.99. And at Banana Republic Factory Store, the entire store is 50 to 70% off the original price. Don't miss our best-selling Luxe Pullover for only $19.99. Beat the rush. Shop Gap Factory or Banana Republic Factory Store in Rentham, Merrimack, Tilton, and Millbury. Shop Gap Factory in Everett, Watertown, or Worcester.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-593-5634. 1-800-593-5634. That's 1-800-593-5634. 1-800-593-5634.
1510 WMEX, the new home of Howie Carr.
Right now, my heart feels like an alligator. I am so happy. I just spent 7 years in the hole for the crime of not wanting to work for bodily orifices. But I'm finally out! I'm out! I'm on AM 1510 WMEX. And what can I say except buenos dias, amigos?
The Howie Carr Show from 3 to 7 p.m. 1510 WMEX.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive, my owner had to give up half-decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit geico.com today.
Right, this cut goes out to all y'all that's been missing us for mad years. One love, yo. Yeah, that's right, he's got game. PE 1998.
If man is the father, the sun is the center of the earth. In the middle of the universe.
John, you want to know a fun fact of the day?
Is his verse coming 6 times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much, but I write him like
Manchester United has paid £785,000 this week to injured players.
Pretty bad. And, you know, that's why part of the reason, part of many reasons, why they're in ninth place, right?
Terrible. Manchester City back on top, baby. Let's go. Late winner versus Swansea. Come on, you Blues. Listen, I don't care. They're in England. I could be as biased as I want on this show when it comes to that.
Chelsea is league to lose this season. It really is.
It really is. It's amazing how good they are. I mean, they dispel West Bromwich Albion, who I thought might have given a little bit of a tougher time to Jose Spurs, but they don't.
But, you know, once you get a 29th-minute red card, which is what happened with West Brom, it's hard to put up much of a fight, especially against a clearly superior team in Chelsea. But it's, you know, we've talked about it before. Chelsea dominant, the rest of the league, nobody's standing out. As long as Chelsea doesn't really slip up, they're in great position.
617-237-1234. We got some English footy going on right now over my left shoulder.
Yeah, Man U Arsenal, always an exciting game. Neither of those teams have lived up to expectations thus far this season, but still plenty of time.
What do you think's worse, hiring Louis Van Gaal or putting that Chevrolet logo on the chest?
It does seem weird to have an English Premier League team with the Chevy logo on the chest. But, you know, if they pay him enough money, why not? Why not?
I'll tell you what, David De Gea is not staying in Man U. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there.
I think he could end up in Spain. Back in, you know, maybe with...
He could. Yeah, he's a great young goalkeeper. Yeah. Whoever wants him is going to have to pay a lot of money for him.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Let's bring it back stateside, though, because I wanted to talk to you as we were going into break about the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, New York, New England, great. But even better, L.A., Seattle. They finished the year making you want 180 more minutes of soccer. They finished the year with a home-and-home series to decide the Sport of Shield winners. Now they're going to finish out with a home-and-home series in the Western Conference Finals over the two legs here to decide who's going to play either New York or New England. I mean, this is exactly what you wanted if you're Don Garber. I mean, Dempsey versus Donovan, Martins versus Keane, Zardes versus Yedlin, fat guy versus really fat guy.
You know, it's a really exciting series, and interestingly, the Galaxy has decent favorites going into the series, despite how good Seattle was down the stretch, despite how good Seattle was against LA in the final two games of the season. But Galaxy have just been so dominant in the playoffs against the Salt Lake side that you know, I thought was going to give him a decent fight. Didn't end up being that way in the second leg at all, with the Galaxy running away 5-0 winners. So this is going to be a very interesting series. I think Seattle barely sneaked by Dallas, who I think outperformed expectations in that series. So Galaxy, the informed team right now, but Seattle is so good. And as I say that, Arsenal just misses a one-on-one chance with the goalkeeper there. Fantastic save, not the best shot. But it's going to be a very interesting series between the Galaxy and Seattle. Like you said, marquee matchups, big-name players, so much star power. You know, two fantastic stadiums, or fantastic atmospheres. Yeah. I guess you can't say it's a fantastic stadium in Seattle due to the turf, but it's gonna be great.
Can LA replicate the same performance? Do you think? Because here's the thing: I thought it was the way that Bruce Arena played that series versus RSL was very unorthodox. You know, Seattle at least attempted to get the goal back. They had to get a goal back because, mm-hmm. you know, they were down 1-0 in that game to Dallas in Dallas, and they pull it back and go back to Seattle with the draw. But Bruce Arena, I feel like, has to play this a little bit differently because that first game is going to be at home, and
Absolutely.
You have to prepare in a different light. So how does L.A., who put up 5 goals and didn't let RSL score any in the second leg of the Western Conference semifinals, how do you get that same performance, Sean?
You know, it's got to be a different strategy. You're absolutely right. I mean, you can't go into the first leg certainly going for a draw. And I think they did in Salt Lake. I think, you know, you look at that game, Salt Lake was all over them for much of the game. Some controversy. Both teams probably had goals that should have counted in that game that didn't. But at the same time, you know, that was not a game where LA was free-flowing attacking. Now they're starting off at home. You can't go into LA. I mean, you can't go into Seattle needing a result, and I think LA knows that. You know, they need to come away from LA with a win. So they
nothing
have to,
more than they nothing
have,
less. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Because Seattle is such a tough place to play. You know, you go into Seattle, you know, after a scoring draw or a loss, and you're really up against it. So this is a game where they have to come out and attack. And Seattle is a team that I think will not play too defensively. I think we saw against Dallas that they are capable of, you know, playing it smart. Their fullbacks did not go forward as much against Dallas in that second leg when they only needed a 0-0 draw. We might see more of that. But, you know, when you have Dempsey and Martins up top, they're always a team capable of striking on the counterattack. So it should be a game with lots of chances for both sides. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it will live up to the billing.
I think the interesting thing about the Dallas-Seattle matchup, just not to spend too much time on that, but this is where I think LA could take advantage of Seattle. And you mentioned the defense of Seattle. Chad Marshall, I thought, did a great job in that series. DeAndre Yedlin, yeah. And here's why. And I really wanted Dallas to win because I think Dallas is just, you know, they really have a great core formula and Pareja. The fact he didn't even get on the MLS shortlist for Coach of the Year is a travesty and a disgrace, but and we can save that for another day. But
or so you get MLS Cup in New England.
Or so you
the
get
other
MLS.
Reason why people want
that's
it.
What, yes, that's the other reason why.
But the real reason.
The pace of his strikers and his attackers showed me that Seattle really, and you know, it reminded me a lot of what New England did to Seattle. They're not very good defensively. And you talked about Stefan Fry being an inexperienced goalkeeper in this situation. I would be wary of the way that LA's attack could really come because, I mean, you know, Zardes, Keen, I mean, everybody just seems to be playing at the right level. And, you know, having this 1 week layoff, it might benefit LA more and hurt Seattle.
You know, it's similar to what we said about the Red Bulls. You know, Seattle's a team that's got to find goals.
Yeah.
It's the defense again. That's the question. And, you know, they've did pretty well against Dallas. They managed to hold them off. I've always been a guy that said Yedlin's defense needs work. There's no question about it. He's a guy that's very, very fast. He can get up and down the flank quickly. Can be dangerous on offense. Some people suggest that he should probably be a midfielder, and maybe he should be. And we saw that for the U.S. a few times, that, you know, playing in midfield.
But is he heading down the road of Jeff Cameron?
I think they're two very different players in that, you know, Cameron was a guy who was a central midfielder, a guy who could play defense, play center back. I still probably better at center back than right back, and I think he's more comfortable in the center. You know, Yedlin's a guy with blazing speed, which is something that Cameron doesn't have. Not as good in the air, but, you know, he's a guy that so much raw talent. You could put him in a lot of different positions, and if you could train him the right way, I think he could play. But I think he's a guy that perhaps is better suited for the midfield because of what we've seen defensively against the Revolution, where Fagundes had a field day against him.
Of all people.
For sure. Yeah, it was probably Fagundes' best game of the year, came against Seattle, where he completely, you know, dominated against Yedlin and perhaps the space that Yedlin gave him in that game. But, you know, that is definitely something that can be exploited. I also don't think the Galaxy's defense, as I've said before, is as good as their defensive record suggests. I think Omar Gonzalez hasn't had the best year. And I think their defense can be exploited as well. So two phenomenal offenses, two defenses that can be shaky at times.
So as Brad Feldman was talking about earlier, possession and where possession is won, not as necessarily numbers and time of. But do you think that is what determines the series as well?
Oh, for sure, because these are two teams that are great in possession.
Yeah.
We talk about the Reds being a good counterattacking team. These teams like to have the ball and have the control of the game to get forward, pressure the other team. So, again, possession is big in this. I would expect the home team to probably have possession in both these games, just the nature of the playoff, of how the playoffs work. But it should be, you know, again, lots of chances, I think, for both sides, because Galaxy has to attack at home. They absolutely have to attack.
What risks would you like to see both coaches take?
You know, I think that what we saw against Dallas from Seattle, like I mentioned earlier, with the fullbacks staying home a lot more, I think they should go at it against LA. I think that they showed, you know, in the last game of the regular season, too, I think Seattle was a bit defensive against LA. Ended up getting a win anyway, but I don't think they had a shot on goal until, like, the 70th minute or some crazy statistic like that in the last game of the regular season. You know, I think you want to go at it. You don't want to score zero goals on the road if you're Seattle. You know, as good as they've been at home, even a 0-0 draw is not a great result on the road when there's away goals, which there are now. So I think they need to go at it. I think, like I said earlier, the Galaxy really have to go at it, because you can't go into Seattle needing a win.
So play with no, you know, with just...
Play your game. Don't play scared.
But do you think they should play it as that there's no game next week? You know, play with the mindset that you want to win today, because if you win today, you're almost assuring yourself that you're good into the MLS Cup final.
Certainly, in Seattle's case, for sure. I think that is the case. If they win in LA, they're advancing. I don't see LA coming back from a deficit in Seattle. You know, as good as they've been and as good as they were against Salt Lake, and even with the talent they have. So it's vital for both these teams to come out of here with a result. Playing scared would be the worst thing you could do. I honestly thought we saw that a little bit from Seattle against Dallas in the second, like which surprised me to a certain extent. Yeah, I don't think they got forward as much as I was expecting them to. I thought they played it a little bit too safe. It ended up working out in the end, but you know, one mistake and Dallas was going through. And that surprised me from a team that's been so good at home. You know, I understand late in the game, but, you know, even early in the game, you know, not to say that they played so defensively that they didn't have chances. They had their chances, but, you know, it wasn't quite the same Seattle team, you know, attacking-wise that we're used to seeing.
See, I agree with that. I think you should have been able to at least put up one if you're Seattle. And if Dallas gets that penalty, then, I mean, it's a completely new ball game. And maybe we're talking about an extra time game that finishes either Seattle or Dallas's way. We're not living in a world of ifs, though. We're talking about the conference finals between LA and Seattle. And I'm on the other side. See, I thought that what Bruce Arena did in Real Salt Lake could have been worse. And granted, you walked away with a 0-0 draw, but you didn't allow your MVP candidate to do what he's so good at doing. You didn't allow your young attacker to play a little bit higher. I mean, obviously, yeah, this all changes now. You wipe away, you have a clean slate going into the Western Conference Finals. It's just, is Bruce Arena going to be Bruce Arena, or can we expect to see more than just the old guard doing what they need to do? Like, I want to see more of Zardes, to be honest, from Bruce Arena's system. I don't, you know, I agree with you that, you know, Yedlin's got the pace and the speed to really make things exciting for Seattle. But it's those younger guys that I'd love to see used more. And maybe that's the risks that I'm asking Bruce Arena and Ziggy Schmidt to make, is don't let us just see Obafemi Martins run wild, or don't just rely on a Dempsey to get you a pass through to Martin. Same thing with Donovan Zardes. You know, let Zardes do a little bit more work. You know, you figure you're going to have to get production from everywhere, so you might as well throw out a formation, or at least the system that you think can throw off your opponent. I know it's hard to mess with things this late in the year, but you can't always just go by the same thing over and over, week after week.
Yeah, and I want to see more out of a guy I want to see more out of is Juninho. I don't think we've seen much from him. He's a guy that, you know, has phenomenal long shooting ability, one of the best in MLS at that. On the Galaxy, and I don't think we've seen too much from him. I don't think he scored a goal this year, actually, which is kind of surprising from him. So he's a guy that can really open up the field for the rest of his teammates by, you know, taking those long shots and threatening from distance. And again, you know, Stefan Fry, we've had a few question marks with. You know, good goalkeeper, but again, not the most experienced in these types of situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he can take some long shots, which we haven't seen as much of this year, that can really open up the field for guys like Landon Donovan, like Robbie Keane, like Zardes, because they need to put pressure on him further up the field. So that's another thing that I think the Galaxy need to see more of, is Juninho taking those long shots when he has the opportunity.
55 shots this year, no goals, and 34 games played.
That is very surprising numbers from a guy with the talent that he has.
Yeah, but you know what? He didn't have that production either last year because he only had one goal last year as well. So he's going to be he's going to be a bigger distributor this series, you could say, maybe, right? You could say with 4 assists over the course of 3 years now, 12 assists over 3 years, this is a guy that is going to find the open lanes. He's going to make guys like Zardes, he's going to release guys like Zardes or Donovan or Keane into attacking and opportunistic scoring areas. And it's another hell of a series that we got here.
It's crazy to think that, you know, 2 years ago, he scored 7 goals on 52 shots.
Yeah.
I think part of that, too, is maybe he's been pressed back a little bit more with, you know, with Zardes and Keane in front of him, you know, two very attack-minding players, and even Landon Donovan on the wings. If they've played with one striker in the past, he had more freedom to get forward. But, you know, I think he'll have a say in the series at some point.
So this is one of the most successful MLS clubs ever, going up against a Seattle team that hasn't won an MLS Cup yet. Does this LA team resemble anything of past champions, you think?
You know, I think it's a very, very complete team. I have question marks about the defense, but the numbers you can't complain about, certainly defensively or offensively. Robbie Keane in phenomenal form, Zardes in phenomenal form. Well, you have 3 double digit goal scorers on this team in the regular season. That does not happen very often in MLS. So many guys that are threats going forward. You know, Robbie Rogers has reemerged as a great player this year. You know,
Rogers.
Landon Donovan has been phenomenal after the World Cup snub. He's just been playing out of his mind. This is a very capable team of winning a championship. I think they're probably back to front a more complete team than Seattle, as good as Seattle has been. I would say they do resemble championship teams in the past. Bruce Arena, a very experienced coach, knows how to win the championship. So it's going to be tough for Seattle to beat them, as good as Seattle's been this year.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Arena, that's the big key, is that you got, and that's why it's fat guy versus really fat guy, because both of these guys know what it's like to coach in big game situations.
They
Bruce Arena is one of the winningest college coaches of all time. He's won, I think, 5 or 4 NCAA titles. We were just talking about it the other day. I can't remember off the top of my head. Same thing with Ziggy Schmidt. He's won on the college level as well. Ziggy Schmidt hasn't played in a big game like this in quite some time. He's been building that Seattle system for about 4 years now, and this is what they've been waiting for. This is their moment, and what a perfect team to come against in L.A. And a line in the sand. I think that's the way to put it.
Yeah, you got Bruce Arena going for his 5th MLS Cup. You got Ziggy Schmidt going for his 3rd MLS Cup. And the East, you have 2 coaches that have not been near an MLS Cup before.
They don't even have coaching licenses. They came from the broadcast.
Very, very big dichotomy in the coaches between these two series.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Glad to be back. Hoping for another exciting show next week.
Thanks, Brad. Tom Quinlan. We'll see you starting 1 o'clock tomorrow on 1510 WMEX. Let's go!